Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. And it is Tuesday, February 11th, 2014, and today's topic is it menopause or is it Memorex? First, I'd like to tell a joke. Many of you know I write these comic strips, so I'm going to tell a joke. First lady says, I imagine I have a disease. What specialist should I see? And her friend says, that's easy. See an imaginary specialist and imagine you're cured. That's the best. Keep it all imaginary. And so, of course, the joke is, why seek out a real and hazardous intervention for something that is only imaginary? And so is it menopause or is it Memorex? So those of you old enough to remember, there was a commercial, now a classic, where the audience is challenged to guess if the beautiful voice of the commercial is the voice of the singer or if it is a fake reproduction by Memorex, which is indistinguishable from the voice of the real singer. The symptoms of sleep associated with these menses has been described as menopause, and this is now accepted to be a disease caused by a decline in hormones, and it's treated by taking hormones, artificial or bioidentical. But is it really a condition caused by hormone deficiency? Or is this disease just an imposter, just a Memorex? So I'm going to talk, for simplicity, I'm only going to refer to bioidentical hormones because those are the popular ones of the day. Everyone who's been in the know knows the other ones are very bad. So we're not going to talk about those. We're only going to refer to bioidentical hormones and see if we can't come a little closer to something that makes sense for a greater number of women and actually works. Now, today's subject comes from an email, so do email me your recommendations for topics. I cannot respond to all the emails, but as you can see, I am reading them, I do listen, and here is our email from Vern. Vern, you mentioned your interest in hearing about ideas for future topics. Menopause, taking the subject from a non-hormone therapy approach. No one has touched this topic seriously from a non-traditional natural approach. Quite some time ago, I wrote a similar request to focus on the family. And as far as I know, my communication was never addressed. Certainly not answered. By the way, I am a male. Isn't it interesting that you so often see marriage separations occur around the time of or after the onset of menopause? Real simple. Men, if relatively healthy, do not completely lose their sex drive. Women, on the other hand, often do. And if they refuse traditional hormone therapies, then there's a big problem. Okay, Vern, we're going to answer some questions today, some really tough questions, you're going to get answers. But first, as always, we have to stop at the very beginning. And that's somewhere around 1950. And there was a drug called Premarin. And this drug was looking for a market. And they said, aha, women who no longer have periods. If you no longer have periods, you have the disease. And you need Premarin. Well, women asked, why? Why do we need Premarin? Why is this a disease? And it took a while for the drug companies to come up with an answer. But they said, aha, you need Premarin because of osteoporosis. And they took a group of women, they gave them Premarin for a few years, for a period of time, and found that the frequency of osteoporosis was reduced. They said at the time by half, but we have some newer figures we'll be sharing with you a little later on. But only in Caucasian women, not in African Americans. So there was no evidence that African American women benefited from these hormones or that they had osteoporosis. In other words, African American women did not have the osteoporosis, and when they took this Premarin, their bones experienced no further improvement. At that time, there was no test for osteoporosis. It was just believed that once your period stopped, you got it, and that Premarin helped. Well, Premarin had many side effects. Namely, the one that my patients complained about, is that their periods would return. For this, progesterone was added. And it was also felt that the risk of breast cancer was minimized, or endometrial cancer was minimized. So the other symptoms associated with menopause, hot flashes, tiredness, low energy, heart attack, lack of sex drive, all of these were attributed to lack of periods, which meant, of course, a lack of hormones. Oh, we have a chat room, and the chat room is healingwithdrdaniels.chattangle.com. You can carry on a lively side conversation, which I do occasionally take a look at. And they're chatting away, so you can join them. So everything that happened to women after the period stopped was associated with menopause, the cessation of the period. So this was the disease. Now this was well and good until the same symptoms started showing up in younger women who still had periods. So the illness, which is a lack of periods, was renamed. It was called perimenopause. Or you could think of a near lack of periods or almost lack of periods. It was believed that having periods meant that the hormones had to be adequate. So these women were having periods, but they felt lousy. So their symptoms were reframed as a lack of proper hormones, a need, of course, for Premarin. Because if you don't know, Premarin is the urine is prepared from M-A-R, a horse, and I-N is short for urine. So it's prepared from horse urine, just so you know. So now, the use of Premarin was expanded to include women who had periods. Then, you guys listening, just cover your ears, this is horrible. Men were found to have prostate cancer. And this was an expanded market for Premarin. It was postulated that men had too much testosterone, and therefore this was causing prostate cancer. Millions of men were treated with Premarin for prostate cancer. They grew boobs, they wept at the drop of a hat, and watched their manhood wither away. Of course, it was later discovered that prostate cancer was caused by too much estrogen. Oops, but that's for another show. Meanwhile, women were clamoring for Premarin. I actually have women come into the office asking for it. And this is what the research shows, because, again, black women were not affected, so they only counted white women. I actually had a black woman come into the office incensed that the package insert said there was no evidence of benefit in black women, and she thought it was a racist package insert. I had to explain to her, yes, it's safe for men to listen now, I had to explain to her that it was not a racist comment on the package insert. They were simply being honest in that the research has shown there's absolutely no benefit to African-American women. So what did their very rosy numbers show way back when? They showed that if a woman no longer had period, 50% chance of getting osteoporosis, and she has osteoporosis, she's a 50% chance of improving the strength of her bones if she takes Premarin. Now, this is a 25% chance of benefit in the target population. I thought that was pretty dismal, if you ask me. That means 75% of women who took this very important drug would not experience a promised benefit. I mean, would you pay for a car and put gas in it every day if you had a 50% chance of ever driving it? Or even worse, 25% chance of driving it? Probably not. So, didn't stop there, though. Drug companies, during special dinners they held for doctors, and doctors like me, I went to a couple of them, claimed that estrogen could lessen heart disease risk, dementia, depression, mood swings. Oh, truly a miracle. Just a miracle. So what were patients told about the downside of this? Well, they were told that they got chest pain or heavy feeling pain spreading to the arm or shoulder, nausea, sweating, general ill feeling. They should call the doctor. No, they weren't told it was a heart attack. And if they got sudden numbness or weakness, especially on one side of the body, they should call their doctor. No, they weren't told that their hormone replacement could cause strokes. Or a sudden severe headache, confusion, problem with vision, speech, or valence. They should call their doctor. Or pain or swelling in their lower leg. They should call their doctor. Or abnormal vaginal bleeding. They should call their doctor. But they weren't told that any of these things were caused by their medication or that these were the symptoms of a heart attack, stroke, or deep vein thrombosis that could go to their lungs and kill them. That's what the patients were told. Let's see what the doctors were told. Well, the FDA says that this estrogen, now these are bioidentical hormones we're talking about, so I'm only looking at bioidentical hormone side effects. So the bioidentical hormones say that this estrogen is good for management of menopausal symptoms. It doesn't cure anything, such as abnormal uterine bleeding, hot flashes, sweating, and chills. That's it. That is it. Now, the drug company's own research, this is their research, this is from the PDR, you know, 2013 edition, that's pretty recent when you consider it's only February of 2014, so this is like 2 months old. What do the drug companies say? Well, the drug company, this particular one, Bayer, says that after 10,000 woman years of use, this bioidentical hormone, it prevents 5 hip fractures. Count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hip fractures. This is 10,000 woman years of use. Now, I have generously estimated that a woman, even the most compliant, could only take hormones, postmenopausal hormones, for 40 years. She starts taking them at age 50 and stops at age 90, let's just say. So at least the minimum number of women would be 250 women treated. So for 250 women treated, only 5 benefit. This is a benefit of to 2% of those receiving a prescription for hormones in terms of protecting their hip from breaking. Now, remember the definition of random chance? It's 5%. Anything that happens with less than 5% frequency is random chance. No matter how the statistical research numbers are arranged and massaged. So this is a random benefit. In other words, preventing hip fractures by taking hormone replacement, in this case bioidentical hormones, but the numbers are no better with the regular stuff, is less than chance, chance being 5%. And this is why, actually, there's no longer a claim made in the package insert that it prevents osteoporosis or treats osteoporosis. Now, back when I was prescribing, I could not get excited about prescribing hormones of any kind, bioidentical or otherwise. Well, then the bomb hit. Oh, my God. Breast cancer was caused by hormones. And they were not that good at preventing osteoporosis after all. Enter the bisphosphonates, like Fosamax, and the whole list of them. So a whole slew of other drugs now that you take in addition to your hormones to help with your bones. So the hormones were not good for what they had promised to do, yet every woman, with or without periods, needed them. So the FDA takes action. And the action the FDA took was they said these drugs, these bioidentical hormones were making outrageous claims and they needed to stop it. Now, they didn't worry about the claims made by the other hormones, but they said these drugs could not prevent or treat serious disease, including Alzheimer's, stroke, and various forms of cancer. So these women felt they needed these hormones still, but that they needed natural ones. So enter bioidentical hormones. So women taking them in large numbers has been such a success that drug companies now produce and doctors now prescribe bioidentical hormones. But it turns out that their side effect profile is not substantially different from the side effect profile of the regular hormones. So let's take a look and see. Now, just two pieces of hormones, right? Progesterone and Premarin. Now, doctors are taught in medical school that Premarin causes the lining of the uterus to increase in size, and then you add progesterone, which stops that process and causes the lining to leave the body, and that's bleeding. So it's the estrogen that makes you able to bleed and the progesterone that actually causes the bleeding. That's important because progesterone is marketed as a drug that prevents uterine bleeding. So that's really, challenging and difficult. So what can we expect to have happen with progesterone? Well, we can expect autonomic nervous system problems like dry mouth, sweating. We can expect the whole body to have problems like abnormal crying, allergic reaction, decreased appetite, swelling of the body, swelling of the face, fever, hot flashes. Well, wait a minute, supposed to prevent hot flashes. Flu-like syndromes, water retention, and dry eyes, heart disease. You can expect to have fainting spells, migraine headaches, tremor, upset stomach in your intestinal areas, burping, passing gas, toothache, and metabolic and nutritional. You expect to have thirst, cramps in your legs, leg pain, skeletal pain, and they're saying you can get benign, harmless cysts and bleeding and excessive bleeding or excessive blood clotting, either way. And psychiatric issues, aggressive reactions, forgetfulness, insomnia, anemia, destruction of red blood cells, painful periods, premenstrual tension, vaginal dryness. In case you had a sex life, this could really ruin it. Infections, sore throat, sinus problems, urinary tract infection, and respiratory symptom, asthma, shortness of breath, hyperventilation, runny nose, and the skin, acne, itchy skin, rash, seborrhea, skin discoloration, and just allergic itchiness. And then urinary tract, cystitis, like you have a bladder infection, you'll feel like you do when you don't, pain when you pee, and urinating frequently. And you can get vision disorders like blindness. So the list goes on and on and on and on. And so this is really shocking, all of these side effects. And so as a physician, I felt, this is a lot of side effects, and there's really not any evidence that it helps anything. So I said, what's going on? We got disease. Menopause, whose symptoms keep changing, a target population that keeps expanding. So first it was women who didn't have periods, now women who do have periods and women who don't have periods. And then we're going to cross over and say that men can have this problem too, even though they never had periods. So I was stumped. All I knew was I wasn't going to prescribe this stuff because it didn't work. And I didn't want to be bothered with emergency calls concerning the side effects. So then it happened. It was New Year's Eve, and I decided to send the kids to my brother's house so I could pass a peaceful New Year's Eve by myself, so just to get some peace and quiet. So when I got home from dropping off the kids, I walked by the freezer in the garage and realized I had 20 pounds of frozen garlic that was peeled. I said, well, I can't waste that. It's been sitting there for months and months and months. So I boiled it up on the stove, simmered it for over 30 minutes, and strained it. Then I said, what am I going to do with this? I said, I know. I'll do a tub soak. Boy, was that a bad idea, but I did it. I put very strong garlic tea in the tub, filled them with hot water, and got in the tub. 30 minutes later, I was having hot flashes. Oh, gee whiz. I just, they were out of control. Instead of sleeping with four hot water bottles, that's usually cold, I slept with none and kept pulling the covers off and putting them back on and pulling them off and sweating all night. I thought, it'll be gone by morning. It wasn't. I would get hot so suddenly I would take off my coat outside in the middle of winter when I only had a tank top on. I was on fire. I would sweat and suddenly it would be gone. It was then that I realized, wait a minute, this is what women with hot flashes are going through. Everything the patients were saying, hot flashes, private summer, all of a sudden it made sense. And I even gained weight, which was tough to do, but I did. And so while this was really, for me, a difficult experience, it helped me realize that what I was experiencing was exactly what my patients had been experiencing, and it had nothing to do with hormones. I also became, like I said, irritable, impatient as well. Now, this was a fine thing. What had the garlic done? The garlic had moved some very well-stored toxins to my blood from their storage places, and my liver was not filtering fast enough to get it out of the blood. So my immune system decided to do a skin dump and dump the toxins into my skin with this incredible big flash of perspiration. So this really got me thinking. Since I realized that the hormone connection was a hoax, then I realized that bioidentical hormones had to be a hoax. In other words, whether the hormones came from horse piss or otherwise, they couldn't possibly work. It couldn't possibly be the answer and could only be another marketing move. So naturally, I had the overwhelming chore of curing myself first. So at first, of course, I tried to ignore it. I was very busy. I had no time for anything. I was just busy. And so I said, well, wait a minute. I've got to do something. But let's just summarize what's going on here. So there's two things. First, there's hot flashes and emotional symptoms. And then there's osteoporosis. So neither were related to hormones. And so I knew this. At the same time, just by the way, each of my brothers had teenage daughters who broke a bone. And the injury, one was tripping while walking down the steps without falling, and the other one was running in gym, again, without falling. They had injuries were not severe enough to explain their fractures. In other words, their bones had to be weak. But both these young girls were African American. So much for genetic strong bones, so I reasoned the bones had to be a lifestyle issue. Let's get back to the hot flash part. So the whole thing was a hoax. It wasn't menopause. It was really Memorex. Just a fake, an imposter. And the real culprits for menopause were still at large. So let's do station identification here. You are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels at BlakeRadio.com on the Rainbow Soul channel. So I suddenly realized, oh, my God, it's a hoax. We've been had. And so what I figured out was since the garlic had obviously released a lot of junk that was very neatly stored, my challenge was getting that stuff stored up again or removing it from my body. So I didn't have any great experience of storing toxins or how to store them. I decided I better get them out of my body. So that's what I set about doing. And I was very, very diligent. First thing I did, though, was I went over my diet. And I said, well, I've got to get rid of every last speck of processed food, no matter what it is, even if it is organic and from the health food store. So I get rid of it, all of it. We discharge the rice milk, got rid of the lightly pasteurized bottled juices, every last little piece of processed anything, even though it was labeled organic, even though it was from the health food store. And that helped. That was actually a big help. The next thing that was even bigger help, believe it or not, was hydration. I was in such a big hurry, I actually was not drinking that much. And so I bumped my drinking up to about 3 quarts a day, which is a pretty hefty amount for my weight at the time. And so you guys remember the formula. It's 1 quart per 60 pounds of body weight. And so it doesn't do any harm when you don't feel well to add an extra quart to the mix. And so basically, increasing the water was an incredible help. I guess it's like any fire. You throw water on it, it helps bring it down to size and make it less of a discomfort. So the first thing was cleaning up the diet. Next was drinking water. And that helped. But finally, what I had to do was I had to start doing enemas and pulling out all the trash and all the waste. And I did this very meticulous, very diligently. Every single night I would do an enema. In fact, some days I'd even do two. And over time, what happened was the hot flashes lessened and lessened and then finally went away. It was a very traumatic experience, however, however enlightening, that it was not, had nothing to do with the cessation of periods. Now, women, during the time that they do have periods, their body cleanses by dumping trash into the blood flow so that when they bleed, they also lose a tremendous number of toxins. And so obviously when they stop bleeding, those toxins have no place to go, and then you have the flashes. But it is not a hormone deficiency. The body did, for the most part, intend to stop bleeding. I mean, you can imagine, what does a 76-year-old lady need with bleeding every month? You know, it just doesn't really work. So to label menopause as a disease is simply flies in the face of reason. It's actually absurd. And to the credit of women and doctors, the drug companies had to work pretty hard for a very long time to either convince doctors to prescribe the stuff and to convince women to take it. And what happened back in the 80s and 90s, the licensing boards were not so strict, or more to the point, they could not get the prescription of hormones added to the standard of care. There was a big glitch in that because there's so much disagreement and so much protest. Doctors still had a modest amount of independence at that time. And so it was very difficult to get it added to the standard of care, which meant that doctors just, they didn't feel like prescribing it, they didn't prescribe it. And so the only doctors who prescribed it were the obstetrician gynecologists so they could have an excuse to have the woman keep coming back. Now, I also want to just review what was found about estrogen. And this is true of bioidentical estrogens as well as other estrogens. This, by the way, is also a good time to click your button there if you have any questions. Estrogens increase the risk of endometrial cancer. That's a cancer in the lining of the uterus. And so they say close clinical surveillance of all women taking estrogens is important. Adequate diagnostic measures, that means the doctor needs to do an endometrial biopsy, which is several hundred dollars, a very good money-making thing, should be undertaken to rule out cancer in all cases of undiagnosed, persistent, or recurring abnormal vaginal bleeding. Well, if you take this lady and you put her on estrogen and progesterone, she's likely to start having a period, which is a great excuse to do this rather pricey test. And it says there's no evidence that the use of natural estrogen results in endometrial risk profile than synthetic estrogen at equivalent estrogen doses. This is important to know. The difference between artificial or synthetic estrogen and natural estrogen is ludicrous because the estrogen you're taking is not naturally occurring in your body, so it is not natural estrogen under any circumstances. That is that. It's like natural flavor. If you have natural flavor added to a food, that flavor is not naturally occurring in that food. That's why it's added. So natural flavor, natural hormones, it's a misleading label. Next, cardiovascular and other risks. So estrogens with and without progestins should not be used for prevention of cardiovascular disease or dementia. Warning, of course, is that it is heart disease and can increase dementia. The World Health Initiative study reported increased risk of heart attack, stroke, invasive breast cancer, pulmonary emboli, blood clots, and deep vein thrombosis, which is blood clots, in postmenopausal women during the 5 years of treatment with oral estrogens combined with progesterone relative to doing nothing. And so this is why just simply known to be not safe. The Women's Health Initiative memory study, a sub-study of the Women's Health Initiative, reported increased risk of developing dementia in postmenopausal women 65 years of age or older during the 4 years of treatment with oral conjugated estrogens plus progesterone compared to taking nothing. So dementia is actually increased when you take these hormones. And again, they say the risk should be assumed to be similar because the risk of estrogens with or without progestins are prescribed at lowest amounts. But this is very hazardous. And this is probably why the Women's Health study was actually discontinued, because it was really putting out a lot of information that many of the things we thought were medically proper or okay were actually very dangerous and harmful. So the bioidentical hormones are definitely not any safer or more effective than the regular ones. And the symptoms they choose, or illness they purport to improve or help, there is no evidence that they do. For the soft symptoms, the symptoms of mood swings, lack of sexual desire, hot flashes, those things, the first step is the cleansing, which I mentioned. So that's increase your water, clean up your diet, do some enemas. I even went so far as to use coffee enemas, which I'm not sure if I need to go that far. I think it was not necessary because I've helped many women with coffee enemas. So I can tell you that the extra trouble of coffee enemas is probably not really necessary. So what do you do if you have issues with sex drive? You know, you're a woman, you're married, you know, you've been having sex with this guy for some years now, and all of a sudden, you're like not interested. No, you're not interested, but he just seems like an awful person. And intellectually, you know, he probably hasn't changed a whit. So what are you going to do? How do you change your attitude back to the way it was, Dave? Well, first of all, go ahead and do the cleansing we talked about. Second of all, I found that red raspberry leaf tea is extremely effective. It increases sexual desire, increases spontaneous lubrication, and definitely helps you get back together again. The next thing that also helps is milk thistle. Milk thistle is an herb that coats every single little cell in the liver and protects it being destroyed by toxins and chemicals. And this makes the liver more willing to get to work, dump those toxins, and really get you in a mood of absolute happiness. So those are the two things that will get you back to being happy and having the wonderful personal life that you enjoyed before the cause showed up. Now, what's the next problem? The next problem is osteoporosis. Now, this is a real challenge because osteoporosis was believed to be genetic condition of white females, and that blacks just didn't have it. This is in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, part of the 70s. It became, you know, like politically incorrect to suggest that there was actually a racial difference. And so what happened, though, with integration, that'd be 1968, is that many African Americans adopted the eating habits of white Americans. They started drinking soda pop. I remember when I was a kid, Oh, man, if you drink soda pop, you were definitely rich. I mean, R-I-C-H, all caps. And so most African Americans did not drink soda pop. They drink Kool-Aid. Even though Kool-Aid does cause osteoporosis, they drank it stressed so they could, you know, make the money go a little further. And so blacks just weren't exposed to the level of concentration of osteoporosis causing chemical. So osteointegration has changed. And in my medical practice, I found that many African-American women, especially the professionals, ones with the advanced degrees, definitely had osteoporosis, and they were just literally deteriorating. So what is it? What cultural practice did African-Americans have that led them to have very sturdy, strong bones and not have osteoporosis? Well, I kind of touched on it. The beverage at home was definitely water. It was water. That was it. So all the fancy beverages that cause osteoporosis simply were not present in the African-American household for the most part because, well, it just wasn't there, the income thing. Now, the other cultural practice, which is very interesting, is eating collard greens. Collard greens are a serious mineral powerhouse. Not only do they contain a lot of minerals, but they also contain a special mineral, boron, which, left to its own devices, will cause reorganization and increase bone mineral density. But it doesn't stop there. If you're making collard greens, then you know you've got to put in either neck bones or ham hocks. What are neck bones and what are ham hocks? Well, these are a part of the animal that is filled with cartilage, filled with gelatin, filled with thick skin. And so if you boil, what happens? The minerals and all the hyaluronidase and all the building blocks for bone and tendon goes into the sauce. And when you eat your collard greens, you get all the stuff you need to make incredibly thick, incredibly strong bones. So that was the big difference. And when blacks got, equality, they called it, or integration rights, the first thing they said was, okay, we're not eating any more slave food. And many blacks, African-Americans, said, we're not eating pork anymore. That's a bad animal. Or we're not going to eat anything that close to the ground. So we're not going to eat the ham hocks anymore. We're only going to eat the ham and the pork chops and those things. And so as a result of no longer eating this very powerful bone-building meal, and as a result of eating more processed beverages, African-Americans developed the same weak, brittle bones that Caucasians developed, actually. And so it's not genetic. So the good news, of course, is that anyone can eat collard greens and ham hocks, and anyone can stop eating a variety of beverages, bottled beverages, that cause osteoporosis and bone loss. So let's take a look here at some of our questions. All right, questions in the chat room. There's lots of them. One person asked, could a mineral deficiency cause osteoporosis? It could, but it would be unlikely, and that's because the amount of minerals stored in the bones is actually pretty large. But what really seems to be the culprit is the active destruction and actual dissolving of the bone by these beverages that come in bottles and are processed. Another question person asked is, how do you make a hormone? And the answer is you get a horse to piss and you separate out the hormones, which is not really great, but that's the way it works. Another question is, invent the disease, then invent the treatment, or vice versa? Usually the treatment is invented first, and then they look for a disease. So usually a compound is discovered, and then the disease has to be found. For example, Viagra was discovered before it was discovered that it could have any impact on erectile dysfunction. So generally, the blockbuster profit maker is discovered first, then an application is made for it. So it's usually a drug in search of a disease. Okay, let's take a phone call online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Debbie. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so I missed the last 10 minutes because I got a phone call, but you were talking about, if I understood you correctly, that the reason that women have hot flashes and lower libido is because they stop menstruating and there's nowhere for the toxins to go. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so why do men lose libido when they go through andropause, since they've never bled to begin with? You know, the mainstream exercise.
That's right. So the thing that's clogged here is the liver. So the liver stops doing the filtering job, and that's where you get the hot flashes. And so in the case of the woman, the blood as a way of getting rid of the blood is not there. And in the case of the man, the liver function declines to the point where he's no longer filtering his toxins either. And so he gets mood swings, hot flashes, unreasonable behavior, and his bone dissolving is due to the beverages. So many men, thinking they're going to be a good husband and not drink alcohol, have instead taken to drinking sports drinks and soda pop, and their bones have gotten quite brittle.
But why does that happen when their testosterone level drops? Is that just a coincidence?
No, the testosterone levels drop because the liver, too. The liver is the main synthesizer of the testosterone.
And here's the other question.
The other thing
I
just wanted to mention, can finish that one. Many men are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs. And the cholesterol-lowering drugs lower the cholesterol and make it unavailable. It is the building block for testosterone. And so that sets the stage as well. Also, many men are taking Proscar for their prostate enlargement or whatever, and that causes low testosterone levels.
Well, the three men that I've had experience with weren't taking any of those drugs, and all their libidos dropped precipitously as they hit like a certain age, like 54, 55 to 60. So that seems really strange to me. The other question I had is the Women's Health Initiative study. Weren't they just using progestin, which is the fake progesterone? It's the tweaked pharmaceutical drug as opposed to the natural bioidentical progesterone. And so those side effects that you were mentioning with the progesterone, weren't they from actually progestin and not progesterone?
Those side effects were read right from the natural bioidentical hormone package insert.
Okay. So it's identical. Yeah. So the fact that they tweaked, that the pharmaceutical companies tweaked the progesterone and then call it progestin, you're saying that it has nothing to do with the difference between the two, the bioidentical progesterone?
I'm saying that they may have improved something with bioidentical, but the side effects I read are the ones that remain.
So basically, the way I can stop my hot flashes and improve my libido is simply to detox my liver?
Detox your liver and take milk thistle and red raspberry leaf tea. That's
okay.
What I've done for ladies, and they just love it. They all of a sudden, they're in love with their husbands, and, you know, everything's like it was 20 years ago.
Well, that sounds simple enough. So great.
Very simple.
Thanks for the great info, and I'll let you go on to another caller. Thanks so much, Dr. Jennifer. Bye for
You're
now.
Welcome. Here we have another question. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, do you have a question? Okay, so let's check out the chat room here. See if we have more questions. Okay, someone in the chat room, a guy, says he has some red raspberry tea for sale that he does not need. And so I would say that actually red raspberry tea, it seems to improve men's sexual interest as well. So that's really neat. Okay, out of control of you. Okay, so if you have out of control libido, does it mean you have a good liver? Actually, it probably does. Another question is a question about andropause. Andropause, could it be caused by decreased ingestion of beer? I don't think so. I think andropause is another marketing term, just like menopause. And I think it's unfortunate when guys fall for that, because the testosterone given to treat andropause can cause behavioral changes that can devastate and really ruin their sex lives. So I wouldn't recommend that. Now we have another question here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Daniels. This is Charlene.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Arlene.
I had a question. Hi. I had a question about how, if you're on bioidenticals for a long period of time, how do you get off them without damaging, having a lot of emotions in your body and withdrawing, that sort of thing?
Yeah, without ruining your life, exactly.
Yeah.
That's really challenging. It's kind of like, driving a car and feathering the clutch. It's a bit of a balance. I do have clients that I help with that, and you can just send an email to Gabriel, support@vitalitycapsules.com, if you'd like information on one of those programs.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah, but it's a balancing act. Okay, all right, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I have another question. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Daniels. So great to listen to you. I had a question when you were talking about, I have two questions. One, when you talk about adding the bone, the bones to the collard greens and so forth, what would you suggest for vegetarians that don't want to use the bones?
Well, vegetarians, there's vegans. So if you're vegetarian, you can still use the bones, because it's kind of like an animal product, not really a flesh. Don't need to eat the flesh. It's not what you're after. Or you can actually buy, they do sell granulated gelatin. But let's just say you're vegan and you don't want to eat any animal products at all.
Right.
That is really challenging. One way around it is to increase your mineral intake, which is tough to do. But one way to do that is to make a similar brew using root vegetables, because root vegetables have a pretty high mineral content. And what you would do would be to chop them up, put them in a pot, cover them with water. I recommend using the slow cooker overnight, and then in the morning strain that and drink that mineral. And many vegans will find that will be enough to boost them up.
Great. And that will add to prevent the osteoporosis and so forth.
Right, because calcium is not enough. If you just add calcium, it actually makes your bones more brittle, so you don't want that. So you need a range of minerals. And there are some good mineral supplements on the market. My favorite are the fulvic minerals. And I recommend taking twice in the package. And that would be a start, and I would say as a vegan, if that doesn't do it, then you might want to consider some type of gelatin supplement temporarily.
Did you say Solgar, S-O-L-G-A-R?
No, I didn't say Solgar, because there's many different brands that'll work, so there's not any one particular brand.
Okay.
I like the brand of gelatin.
No, the brand of minerals to take. You said take a mineral supplement.
Oh, fulvic, F-U-L-V-I-C, fulvic. Those minerals have the the broadest range, and they're derived from Utah. And many manufacturers use them in their mineral product. There's not product out there that is only fulvic minerals, I should say, reliably, because they keep changing their formulations.
Great. Thank you so much. The other question I had was, I've noticed that many women are now getting shots of, like, progesterone, and they call it, quote, natural hormones, like you were saying, you know, that it's really not natural, you know,
mm-hmm.
but they're getting shots under the skin or, like, some type of pill inserted under the skin, or I'm not exactly sure what they're doing, but I know that in many instances, I mean, they're saying that it changes their mood and makes them feel so much happier,
oh, yeah.
and boyfriends are buying it for them and things like this. So I just thought that was a little bit shocking to me, you know, but just if you could just say your opinion on that.
Talk about that. Oh, okay, great, we'll do.
Okay.
Okay, so what this person is talking about is something called Depo-Provera. So the progesterone is under the woman's skin, and it's actually these tubes that look like straight rods that go right under the skin. When I was in medical practice, I actually used to install them myself. And these are used as a form of birth control, and they do affect the woman's mood, but they can go either way. It can make the woman either more blasé and relaxed, or it can make the woman just absolutely wicked, and it can make her gain like 10 to 50 pounds. So that cuts both ways. And so if a woman is one, you know, experiences an improvement in mood, then she might want to go ahead and take that. But they do carry substantial risk of blood clots and other health problems. Another question? Let me click my button here. I think I'm hitting the wrong button. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, do you have a question? Yes?
Yeah, oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello?
Oh, okay, sorry, my phone is so bad. I just wanted to know, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, I was wondering what, I couldn't catch what you said that you would boil in the pot overnight, in the slow cooker.
Bones.
Oh, bones. Or like I don't eat that much.
Or, yeah.
Okay. And I don't eat a lot of meat.
Freezer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't eat much meat.
Yeah, no, you don't want to eat the meat. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, we have some questions in the chat room. What is a coffee enema? And what about the sodium nitrite in the neck bones? Okay. What is a coffee enema? So coffee enema is an enema that's made by basically boiling coffee. You take coffee beans, ground them up, boil them for 30 minutes, strain them, and that's what you use for a coffee enema. And you lay on your left, I say left side, some people say right side, and you let the stuff flow into your bottom, and it stimulates your liver and bile ducts to dump even more junk into your intestines than they would discard had the coffee not been in the enema. So that's a coffee enema. What about sodium nitrite in the neck bones? Yes, that can be a problem. So you may want to get neck bones and ham hocks from a pig that was raised without chemicals. Necessary that the neck bones or ham hocks be smoked. They don't need to be smoked. That's not part of the benefit. The benefit is from the thick skin, the tendons, and the bones that are being boiled. And let's see, what else? How do you stop taking bioidentical hormones without a major problem? It depends on you know, a lot of things. So definitely, you know, shoot Gabriel a letter at support@vitalitycapsules.com. And I do work with many women, helping them get off their hormones, and we've been having very good results. But obviously I can't work with everyone, but I can work with some people. So shoot Gabriel an email, and we'll see if we can work things out. Okay. Question. Okay, so I think we caught most of the questions out of the chat room here. Oh, here. Someone says, chicken feet can actually make an excellent bone broth with excellent gelatin. That is very true. I have tried boiling chicken feet, but the little fingernails on the chicken feet look just like little baby's fingernails, and like really gross me out. And I just could not do that. So that's what happens to the chicken thing. But I think the chicken feet are a very good thing. Now, what's happening next week? Oh, we got a show for you next week. Next week, we're going to talk about beauty and good looks. As you know, I've written a book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful, which tells people how to look 20 years younger. Well, next week, tune in. You'll get the update for advanced beauty techniques. Take it to the next step, how to regrow that collagen into your skin, erase those sags, and use super moisturizers and have your whole body revitalized. So that is next week's topic, which is very, very exciting. And we have one more question here.
Oh, good. Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello? Wonderful. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Dr. Daniels. This is Miss Miriam in New York, and I'm calling in to
Hi,
just
Miriam.
Say your pills are wonderful, and I wanted to know if you had any other pills. The Vitality capsules are awesome. I mean, I've let neighbors try them. And they should be putting orders in. It just really does a great job. It's an internal cleanser. I never went to the bathroom so much. It's been wonderful. Now, I just wanted to know, in addition to that, did you have anything else? Did you have any other what recommendations for weight loss, particularly, you know, if it could be menopausal? Who knows why you can't get rid of this weight?
All right, first of all, the Vitality Capsules will be back in March, first week of March. Our producer's really excited about being able to get them a little earlier than what we had thought. As far as that causal weight, it's just those toxins that you were dumping when you were bleeding, and that's really it. Every toxin you hold on to, your body holds on to at least four or five times as much, probably even 10 times as much water to insulate the toxin and protect your body and preserve your health. So the extra weight that you're seeing is your body's attempt to maintain good health. So give your body some help and dump the junk.
You broke up a little bit. Give your body some what?
Help.
Oh, some and help. You don't have a pill to help with the weight loss?
The Vitality Capsules, I think, are the best thing you're going to – it's really the best thing, and that is very safe and it's healthy because it gets rid of the chemicals that are causing the weight gain.
Oh, wonderful. So, wow, you sold so many pills that you sold out?
Sold out, but we're getting more in the beginning of March.
Wonderful. Well, I'm here to say those pills have made a great difference in my life, and I really learned the importance of going to that bathroom so many times a day. I didn't know. You're supposed to go, like you said, three times a day. I'm happy with at least once or twice a day at this point until I build up, you know?
Yeah.
So keep up the great work, Dr. Daniel.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call.
Okay.
Okay, Dr. Daniels?
Hello?
Yeah, I have other people on my call.
Yes, Dr. Daniels, how do you get the toxins out of your body?
The simplest way to start is to drink more water and then to stop putting them in, eating less processed food, and then taking vitality capsules, which helps you get more of the stuff out.
Oh, okay. And how do you fix?
And there's no quick fix. That's it. There's no quick fixes. I wish there was a quick fix, but you know what? There isn't. You just got to dump the junk. And if you want to feel right, you got to do right, well, most of the time. So this is Dr. Daniel signing off. We'll see you again next week, and we'll help you all look gorgeous.